According to Beth, this is part 9. We are back on God's ideal woman. I thought we might have been through with that, but how many know sometimes we go through things in life and God can have us on something, somebody come in that hadn't been in here and we got to take a detour? You know what I'm saying? Or you need something else at the time. So I guess that's what happened. I'm not sure, but I know that this is for this morning. So if you got your Bible, let's go to Proverbs 31. If y'all will remember, this is actually how we started out with this, God's Ideal Woman. We read Proverbs 31 and some others. But we're actually going to study Proverbs 31 this morning. Y'all know how to do that, right? Some do, some might not. So if you don't, this ought to help you this morning. Almost all of these scriptures, now there's a couple of them that is not, but almost all of these scriptures, if you'll notice in your Bible, you'll have like a sentence or a verse, and then under that, you'll have two or three scripture references where it'll take you to the other place in Proverbs or Revelation or wherever it is. Have y'all ever noticed that in your Bible? It's called cross-referencing. I personally don't like to do that over once or twice. Reason being, say like I read a verse here in Proverbs and then it's got verses under that. I'll go to those and I might go look at the next one that the other cross-reference gives, but I don't like to do that over a couple of times because a lot of times if you're not careful, it gets you off the subject you was on to begin with. You understand what I'm saying? All right, this is all going to be in the Amplified. If you don't have one, Beth will put it on the screen for us. Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, "The words of Lemuel, king of Massa, which his mother taught him." So this first part is going to be his mother's words to a king. It says, "What, my son? What, son of my womb? What shall I advise you? Son of my vows and dedication to God. Give not your strength to loose women." We went over this when we first started this, remember? It says, "Give not your strength to loose women, nor your ways to those who and that which ruin and destroy kings." I thought that was so powerful, that a woman can actually bring down a king. You better hear me, guys. Y'all better pick wisely. Be led the best you can. But how many knows God ain't always going to say, "This is the one you're to marry"? He doesn't always say that. So there's qualities and traits you need to be looking for marriage. It says, "That which destroy, ruin and destroy kings, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and what it decrees, and pervert the justice due any of the afflicted. Give strong drink as medicine to him who is ready to pass away, and wine to him in bitter distress of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and seriously remember his want and misery no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, those unable to speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are left desolate and defenseless. Said, open your mouth, judge righteously, and administer justice for the poor and needy." Now, starting here in verse 10, we're going to start studying. The King James Version says in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" So that tells me that she's rare. She's not going to be everywhere. "For her price is far above rubies." In the Amplified, it says, "A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls." Now that word, virtuous, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. It says virtue means moral goodness or uprightness, a special type of goodness. The word virtuous means marked by virtue, morally good, pure, or chaste. I was thinking about it on the way over here. There's a scripture, but I can't tell you now where it is. I can't remember. You can look it up. And the Amplified Bible says it this way: bad company corrupts good morals. And that's what it's saying that a virtuous woman has. She is morally good. Y'all understand what I mean by that, right? So she's good morally. So that means she don't hang out with people that's going to corrupt her morality. Amen? Now, it says she's pressed more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. Let's go to Proverbs 12. Hold your place here because we're coming right back. This is a direct cross-reference from that verse. Verse 4, it says, "A virtuous and worthy wife, earnest and strong in character." So in other words, she's not a weakling. Y'all should have said amen right there. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a lot of women, they are like milk toast. Y'all ever tried to eat milk toast? I couldn't eat that slop. It's not hard, and it's not liquid. It's just mush. There's some women, they're just mush. Then you got other women that they take it to an extreme, and they try to be strong in every area. But that's not how she's supposed to be strong. She's supposed to be strong, it says, earnest and strong in her character. She's morally good. She's morally upright. It says, is a crowning joy to her husband. And all the guys should have said, amen. It says, but she who makes him ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. That would be awful to me. Right? Gosh, did y'all get enough sleep last night? Well, all right. This is what the Lord's got for us. Let's don't get tired of it, because if you do, then that means you're going to have to change your heart. Because I do my best to be led. I don't say things. I can't come up with a message. I tell the Lord, God, I am. Sometimes I get this at like 8:30, Sunday morning. Sometimes I don't get it at all till I get up here and get the microphone. Then sometimes I have it 2 weeks before. But my point to all that is, I don't make the messages. I just work here. I'm just the messenger. So what's that mean? Evidently, we need it. Evidently, we didn't get through with it. So let's now look at Proverbs 18. Gosh, I keep moving that out of my place. This might not seem important to you now, but it will. Close to marrying age people, close to marrying age, and coming up marrying age of people. And then we have those that you're already married. Like me, I mean, I'm already married. And Scotty's saying, what I'm learning, amen, right? To what I'm learning here. But here in Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says, he who finds a true wife. I want you to stop right here for just a second and realize what that said. He who finds a true wife. Every married woman is not a wife. There's a difference. She's a woman because she's a female, and she's a married woman because she's in a covenant with a man, but every woman is not a true wife, and that's what you're looking for to get married. It says, finds a good thing, and notice, you obtain favor from the Lord. Now let's look at Proverbs 19, since we're here. Verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance from fathers, but a wise, understanding, and prudent wife is from the Lord. She's an inheritance from the Lord. Now let's go back to Proverbs 31. All of those was just direct cross references from that one verse there. Verse 11 in the Amplified. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on, excuse me, and believes in her securely. Listen, we're supposed to give love to everybody, but you can't trust everybody. So this tells me that this woman, he has spent time with her, and he trusts in her. He's never had a reason not to trust her. You understand what I'm saying? You can't trust every woman. You can't trust every man. You can't trust every person. But it says that her husband's heart trusts in her. In other words, she gives off no reason for him to be jealous of any other man. Now, if he's jealous according to this, it'll be his problem, right? But y'all know sometimes women, the way they talk or flirt or dress and stuff like that, you know, puts off things to guys and can cause them actually to become jealous when they're really not that way. But it says her husband's heart trusts in her confidently and relies on her and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She comforts. Y'all should be writing these down. She comforts. Y'all didn't say nothing. Encourages and does him only good as long as there is life within her. At the end of this verse, I took my pen and wrote, wow. Because when you think about what, I've been married 39 years. I have not 365 and 366 days of my life encouraged and strengthened and done him only good. So what that means is, if I get upset at him, I cannot say discouraging words to him. Gosh, y'all are getting way too quiet. That means I'm always supposed to encourage him in what God has called him to do and to be. Because see, ladies, we're called the helper. We're kind of like the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost Junior. But according to Scripture in Genesis, we are called to be a helpmate to our husband. So what's that mean? That means if we're going to help him, then we got to encourage him, right? According to Scripture, in our words today, I would say it kind of like we're supposed to be their cheerleader. You can do it. That's like, my hand's been bothering me, so it's kind of hard for me to get lids off. Not that, but Gatorade. I don't know. That stuff is just like glued on there or something other. And I get it about halfway, and it stops. So I'll take it to Scotty. Why? He's supposed to be the stronger, right? According to Scripture, we are the weaker vessels physically, usually. You know, not always. But I take it to him, and I say, here, can you open this? And he goes, quick, just opens it up. I said, that's why you the man. Oh, you are deceiving when I say that. He's smiling right now, or smirking, whatever you call it. Why? Guys like to hear that. Aiden has got to where I tell him, that boy, he is terrified of bugs. Ants, ladies bugs, mosquitoes, flies. He's got, Scotty's mama was that way. Aubrey, she'll kill all those for him. Snakes, Aubrey's terrified. Aiden, he wants it. You would not think so. There was a snake on my back porch yesterday, and Aubrey come down there, and I was in the house. I didn't know it. But I knew it would come for them baby birds, it does every year. Anyway, she went to come to the in the house, and it was laying across my back door. Well, she run up there and told Scotty and crying, and him and Aiden comes down there, and Scotty gets it by the tail, drags it off the porch to the woods, I reckon, then chops its head off or whatever. Well, Aiden wants it. And you would not think so. I mean, a ladybug, seriously? A lightning bug. He can't stand them things either. Any kind of bug, spider, he cannot stand. But Johnny, he wants this snake. The thing is what, 3 or 4 foot long? He wants it. So Scotty, he's got the head chopped off, you know. So he gets it by the tail. He says, here, have it, get it. Aiden gets it by the tail. Well, you know their muscles still keep moving. Well, when its tail started moving, that's when he threw it down. But my point to that whole thing is, because I saw certain things when I was growing up, I saw certain things that my grandmother did and certain things, and we've already been over all that, but I'm trying to make it a point to teach these things. There's a difference in taking your kids to church and training them up in the way they are to go. Y'all understand that, right? There's a difference in just living it at my house and also teaching it. And if you'll be aware, there'll always be teachable moments. So I've been trying to, on purpose, certain things. I will tell Aiden, like the other day, he come running down there. Oh, there's a spider. I said, kill it. He said, the spider? I said, yeah. I said, that's what men do, Aiden. I said, they kill the spiders and the rats and everything we don't like. He said, they do. I said, they do. Now get up there and kill the spider. You know who killed the spider? Aubrey. But that's okay. That's okay. He's just 6. You know, that stuff doesn't bother her, so she killed the spider for him. Then there was another one. She killed it, and he got on his go-kart, and away he went. But the reason why I'm saying this is because you have to use things to teach them, to train them. It's not just you live, because they don't always know why you do what you do or why you say things that you say and things like that. So therefore, you've got to teach them. So then I've been telling Aiden certain things, you know, like say there's a guy on TV chopping wood, you know, logging wood or something other, and he's like, wow, look at that big old chainsaw. You know, the thing is as big as I am or bigger chainsaw. You know, I said, that's what men do, Aiden. He said, that's what men do? And I'm like, yeah, that's what men do. They work. They do the hard stuff. Now, am I saying a woman cannot be a logger? No, I'm not saying that. But do you realize probably out of the 100%, they might be 2 women loggers? I mean, for real. So it's not that women can't do it. It's just usually we don't. And we're not called to do that most of the time. So young men need to know what men are supposed to do. What do we get to? Verse 12. Let's read it again. It says, she comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her. So that means every day of my life, I got to figure out somehow to bless him. Whether I feel like I want to bless him, encourage him, strengthen him, or do him only good. Because how many knows a lot of times when you get upset or mad at somebody, you're not thinking, pull out $100 and bless them. No, I want to take your nose off. I mean, seriously. But in order to be this kind of woman that God is talking about, how many knows every one of us can possess our own soul? Every one of us can possess our own emotions. What I mean by that is restrain ourselves, right? Of course we can. I mean, I told y'all the story. I don't think I've been mad out of control. Now, I have felt anger, but I've not yielded to it and been out of control, I think, I don't know, in a couple of years. But I had to start right there, because wherever you're at, say anger for an example. I was such an angry person, and it just like was laid right there at the surface all the time. So the least little thing, spilt milk, whatever, don't make no difference. I'm in a full-blown rage. Well, how many knows there's no way you can walk in love with that? There's no way you can have peace with that. There's no way you can have the joy of the Lord with that. So what you got to do? Number one, you got to start cutting the head off of that and yielding to love. And then when you get that under control, how many knows a lot of other things open up the door for you? So wherever you're at, start working on it. It says she only does him good as long as there is life within her. She seeks out wool and flax and works. Did y'all hear that word? Works with willing hands to develop it. So this tells me, this is, a lot of women nowadays, they think they are the life giver, and we are not. This is why I say that. God is the source of all life, right? God made man in his image, and he put seed in the man. There is no seed in the woman. You hear me? The life comes through the man. That's how come nothing happened to all mankind until Adam sinned. Why? Because all mankind, the seed was inside of Adam. Every person here on the earth, somehow or another, you came through Adam. Now, women, we're kind of like a garden, right? We receive seed. Seed is planted in us, and therefore we incubate, cultivate, multiply, and give you back, not a seed, but now the harvest, which is a baby. So women are not life givers. Men are life givers. Men are the one that determine the sex of that baby. If you scientifically, they've proven that men is the one that determines whether that baby is a male or a female. It comes out of him, not out of the woman. So therefore, whatever you give us, guys, pay attention. We take it, we multiply it, and we give it back. So if you want blessing, give blessing. We receive it, we multiply it, and we give it back. If you want hardship, why? We're made that way. Now, we can control that. I'm not saying that. But usually whatever you give us, that's our job. Why? We're helpers. We're supposed to. You give us something, you give a woman a house, she's supposed to make it a home, right? You give her groceries, she gives you back what? A meal. She doesn't give you back whatever you gave her. So notice what she does there. She seeks out wool and flax and works with willing hands to develop it. She takes things, she buys them, she multiplies them, and you could say maybe she resells them. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to put this over into us today. In other words, she builds. The Bible says that a foolish woman tears her house down with her own hands. This woman here, the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman that's talking about, she builds her house up. She builds up her family. She goes on, verse 14, she is like the merchant ships loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. Notice what that said. It says she brings it. She's like a merchant ship. She's got all these different kinds of things on the inside of her to help multiply. Listen to me, ladies. Don't ever marry a man that's not going anywhere, that doesn't have a plan. So you asked him, where do you see? And listen, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, a lot of them might not have a 25-year plan. But they got to have a little bit of something. Why? Because you got to have something to help him multiply. You got to have he's got to have something that you can help him build. He might not have all the finances and the things that your parents or that your father has that he uses right now at 18, 19, 20, 22 years old to take care of you. Why? Usually your daddy's in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you know. They've had some time. They've had a woman, you know, to help them build and all this stuff. But they've got to have a plan of some kind. Why? Say you meet a guy, for an example, say he's 19, 20 years old. He lives in mom and dad's basement. That's fine. That's fine. That age, I figured Travis would stay 22, 23. No. He turned 18 in February, and I got told, I think, in March, I'm getting married in July, and ain't nothing you can do about it. So he still lives in mom and dad's basement. But what is he doing? Does he game all day and night? Does he just hang out with the guys every week? Does he have a job? See, a lot of times women fall in love with the idea of love. Men do not do that. They do not fall in love with the idea of love. And every woman's idea of love is the picture that she has on the inside of her. See, I thought because I loved, had strong desire for, seemed like I could not live without Scotty, it overrode everything. That's a mistake, ladies. Why? I'm in the idea with love. I don't realize we can't rent with love. We can't build no house with love. We can't buy no house with love. We can't buy no groceries with love. I'm talking about this strong desire that I feel like I can't live without him. And I mean, and he don't got no job. He's got a job when I met him, but he gets so jealous of me, he's got to quit that job. He's got to go past the school 4 or 5 times a day. He follows my bus home from school to see who I'm sitting with. I should have got a clue, but I'm 13 years old and I don't know this stuff. So he don't have a job. He does have a truck. Anyway, that man, you can ask my family. Every week, sometimes, not every time, sometimes it would be a whole month, he would show up at my house in a different vehicle. From a yellow Cadillac to a blue Wildcat Buick to a, 71 Dodge. I mean, just all the time. He's not gaining anything. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? Why? A man that you desire to marry, and a godly man, is supposed to be gaining. He's supposed to have a place that he's headed to. If you don't have a destination, you're never going to get there. So, and like this too, I thought about this for all the ladies or whatever. Most of the time, we're going to say God's ideal. God's ideal marriage is a husband and a wife and children. That's his ideal family. So we're going to use that as the example. I know today's society is not always that way. But for a perfect example, it would be a husband and wife and children. Listen to me, girls. If that man does not have the potential and the desire to take care of you like your daddy, now listen to what I said. Go back to Genesis. I'm talking about a daddy that's right. If he does not have the willingness and the desire to take care of you like your daddy takes care of you, he's not the one. Because see, when you marry him, daddy might take care of you now. But when you marry him, daddy's taking care of you stops. So you've either got to lower your lifestyle. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. This is a big thing for women. But yet they'll marry a man that's got nothing, no plan, and going nowhere, and no job. And thinks you're just going to live off of love, like what I said earlier. No, you won't. Alabama Power don't take love. They take cash, debit, check. They don't take love. So realize whenever you go to or are thinking about or talking about marriage with somebody, take into consideration all these things, and don't ever leave out the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because just like I told you how Scotty was, and I was not God's ideal wife, I don't have a clue what that is. After we got born again, God began to help us step by step into becoming. Scotty is now what a lot of women around in this area would call a high-value man. What's that mean? He's a diligent man. The man works all the time. I mean, I really don't like it when summer comes. Reason being, winter, he might be in the house by 5:30. Summer, 8, 9, sometimes later than that. Why? He's always busy. He's got something to do. Why? The Bible says the hand of the diligent person will what? Bear rule. So what's that mean? Women, you're supposed to be looking for a man that is diligent. He might not have everything. He might not have it all yet. But if he's a diligent man, he's headed toward it. And that's exactly what God began to do with us, began to do with Scotty. He was never a lazy person, but he was so doggone rebellious to authority. If he don't feel like going to work, he ain't going to work. If he gets mad on the job, he leaves your truck in Birmingham, hitchhikes back to Aniana. I mean, just, you never know. He's so unpredictable. But now the man is pretty much predictable. Why? Because one thing that God does once you get born again, if you're married, he begins to work it out in your marriage. If you're single, he begins to work it out in you. Wherever there is chaos or disorder or out of his order, he begins to bring order into your life. And he starts wherever he needs to start. So he started Scotty with prosperity financially, you know, and different. Why? Because God's ideal man, he's got substance. He's got wealth. He's got riches. They don't have him. But he has them, right? He's supposed to leave an inheritance for his children's children. which that means he's got enough substance, I'm talking about material things, in this earth to leave an inheritance to his children's children, which is his grandchildren. And not only that, but then he also leaves a legacy and the teachings and the inspiration and the encouragement that he's lived before them all their lives. That's also a blessing. That's also an inheritance. So he has that in every area. And guys, you don't need to be looking for a woman that you're not willing to be what you are supposed to be for her. Do you really think God's going to give you a what's called a Proverbs 31 woman or 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6 woman, and you are a bum? No, he won't. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect or all fixed up. Why? Especially when you're younger. These are the things we're supposed to be growing to. And don't ever leave out the Spirit of God, the leading of the Holy Ghost. There's times that the general don't fit, and he'll tell you certain things. But most of the time, he doesn't just, boom, angel blast, tell you things, right? Except in your spirit. So anywhere, in other words, she helps him build. She multiplies him, helps him. Verse 14. No, we read that. 15. She rises while it is yet night. In other words, she don't sleep all day. It's a lot of women nowadays, they just want to sleep half a day, get up with their girls, go get their hair done, go get their nails done. The man comes in, worked all day, ain't no supper, y'all not saying nothing. This woman doesn't do that. She rises while it is yet night. I would say probably, I don't know, before it gets daylight in the morning. It says, and gets, notice, spiritual food for herself. Her household. What's that mean? It means she gets up early before everybody else, more than likely. And she's praying, and she's seeking God, and she's reading, studying the Word, and saying, God, which direction do we go today? She's getting spiritual food for her entire household. And it goes on here, it says, and assigns her maids their tasks. So she's got servants or people that work under her. And what's she got to do? God, who goes where? Who vacuums the floor today? Who sweeps off the patio? I don't know what they're doing here. Maybe you got maids like in the natural or people that work under you in a job. Well, guess what? You need the wisdom of God. So you need to be up early every morning seeking, God, what do we do? What direction do we go? What dentist do I take the kids to? Y'all not saying nothing. How many knows every dentist out there ain't a good one? And you want the one that God picks or the best one for your children, right? So it means you get up early and you find out. 16, she considers a new field before she buys it. She's a businesswoman for her family. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently, notice, and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. This is the reason why I say all women are not supposed to work outside the home. Some may have to because their husband's their widow or they didn't get married. I don't know, a lot of different reasons. But every woman is not supposed to be working outside the house. Why? Because, see, I can't go after money. There's a lot of women nowadays, and I'm not just talking about lost women. I'm talking about godly women, women of God. They go after money. Y'all not saying nothing. They go after style. They go after name brand. They go after sales. Woo, we love that one. I saved you money, Scotty. How'd you save me money? It was on sale. Y'all ladies don't use that one. Y'all don't know what you've been missing out on. It didn't work, though. Scotty says, no, you spent my money. And I'm like, no, it was on sale. I saved you money. I would have not have bought it if it had not been on sale. Oh, boy. What did we get? 16? Notice what it says. Not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. Her number one purpose for even being created, what was according to Scripture? Genesis, she is the helper adaptable to her husband. Right? That's her purpose why she was created, was to help the man fulfill the purpose that God has given him. Then they have children. Why? The Bible says be fruitful, be blessed, go forth and multiply, right? Replenish the earth. So they're supposed to be having children. Just a little side note, I heard the other day there's not enough kids being born right now. They said according to the population right now of what has been born and the population and their ages and different things like that, that there's not enough people, enough babies being born to sustain us years down the road. They're saying there's not enough people, enough young people working today to pay in income taxes and Social Security for those that are drawing their Social Security right now. I heard that about 25 and 26, there may not be any Social Security anymore. Why do I say that? This is not doing the word. We're supposed to have children. Golly, Mom, it's going over real well. We are supposed to have children. Why? God intends, as long as the earth remains, there's supposed to be children being born. There's supposed to be being entrances into the earth and departures the whole time until He comes. You might say, you know, just, golly, Mom, just like this. For an example, and it's not just, a lot of people, they don't even want to get married anymore. They don't see the point. A lot of the young people, they don't see the point in getting married anymore. Because why? It's kind of like a contract. You hear this out of your parents. It's a marriage is 50-50. No, it's not. Marriage is a covenant before God. That's why I need to get married. Anybody can shack up. You can play house, but you ain't supposed to get the benefits of having a house when you're shacking. Why? God can bless you as an individual, but He cannot bless that family. You better hear me what I'm telling you. It doesn't even matter whether you're a Christian or not. If you're not married in covenant with each other and God, He cannot bless that marriage. Why? He will not bless something that He said don't do. He cannot. And God loves us. And why does He do that? It's for protection. You get all the covenant benefits from God. You get all the covenant benefits from your husband or from your wife. You know, and then you've got people today, you know, they're gay, they're lesbian, they're all this other stuff. And they say, well, if we want kids, we will adopt. Not if us heterosexual, if that's what you call it, because a lot of these words I have to look up. That's a man and a woman, right? Is that heterosexual? That's right. Well, if men and women do not keep having children and putting them up for an adoption, you will not have any babies to adopt. Why? They don't come out of you. You can't get two bulls to have a calf. That will not happen. I mean, seriously, nature tells us. So, I had no clue. Johnny, quit laughing. I know Clay, we was going this direction. I'm not trying to be hard or sarcastic. Listen, you love who you love. I can't help that. But how many knows you don't have to? I can feel like I'm attracted to little boys or little girls. Does that mean that feeling is my truth? Therefore, I feel it. Therefore, it's got to be right. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? Y'all not saying much. If I feel like I'm an axe murderer, does that mean because I feel it, I have a right to go and do it? You understand that's what all this stuff is? It's feelings. You might say, well, you can't help who you love. Maybe you can't as far as strong desire on the inside, but how many knows the Lord can help you and you can keep yourself from any strong desire that He says don't have or yield to. And when we do that, that is when we're going to have our most blessed life. When we stay in the parameters. Why? It's not because God don't want you to have fun. It's not because God don't want you to love who you love. Do you understand? God has a way. And His way is the blessed way. His blessing is on the life of Christ, right? And the more that life lives on the inside of me and the more through me that it lives, the more blessing, the more flourishing that I'm going to have or anybody's going to have. He goes on there, says, she don't neglect her duties. As a wife, I have duties. I am a stay-at-home wife. I work at home. I mean, Scotty, I got to be sick or something if the man mows the yard. You know, I enjoy that. I do that. I cook, I clean, you know, and all this other stuff. So I have duties. So I feel like Monday through Friday, I'm not off. Why? I got to go to the grocery store. I got to pay the bills. I got to bring stuff to the church. I have stuff I do. So I have work, right? I can't go after money out here getting a job that's going to pay me some money and neglect all these other things. If I don't have time to work a job out here and do all these other things that I'm called to do and my husband needs me to do and my family needs me to do, then I'm going to have to tithe and give and believe God. Why? You think God's not going to meet that need if I tithe and I give and my heart is right? Don't He say He will? Then He will. And if anybody has ever done it, then it tells us it can be done, right? All things are possible to those who believe, and all things, the Bible says, is possible with God. So she don't neglect her duties of her family. Notice this, with her savings of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She girds herself, what was that, 11 through 15? I was supposed to read another one here. Beth, put up Job 23, 12, please. Y'all won't have to turn to this one. I forgot about it. It says, I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed, I can't really say that, treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I was supposed to read that one up there where it talks about she gets up early and gets spiritual food for her household. What do we get to here? 17? Yeah. She girds herself with strength, spiritual. That means she got to have a relationship with God, right? Spending time with him and in his word. Mental, she's not a basket case. She thinks right. Her mind's renewed with the word of God, right? And physical fitness. Oh, gosh, this was one for me. When I look at myself, I'm like, God, Tracy, you look like a barrel with legs. Because I'm so big up here and my legs are, they're a little bigger than they used to be. But my legs have always been so skinny and bigger up here and everything. But notice what it says. She has physical fitness. So that means, ladies, to some degree, I don't know what your degree is. For some, their physical fitness and strength level is 110, 120 pounds. For me, mine is not. Usually around 155 to 160, 165, that's my best. Why? I don't want to look like olive oil. I don't think God wants me to look like olive oil. Our culture tells us we should look like olive oil with a big BBL. They don't know what that is. You did. I seen one a couple of weeks ago. She's a white girl, too. Usually it's the black ones, but the white ones, they're getting in on it. She's normal. Her waist, I kid you not, it's about like this. You get past her waist, and it is, I'm not kidding. I thought there's no way an amount of exercise did that to that right there. There's just no way. So what a BBL is, they put it in there. You understand? On the backside. So you know what that is or whatever. I don't even know how we got off of, oh, yeah. Talking about physical fitness. So, I don't know what yours is. Probably everybody's may be different. That's wherever you feel like it's pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to you, pleasing to your spouse if you've got one, right? I'm not saying if you're a guy necessarily you got to have six-pack abs or anything, but you should have a level of physical fitness. That's every one of us, he says, but he's talking about the woman here. It says for her, she needs this physical fitness for her God-given task. And makes her arms strong and firm. That's why I said I don't want to be no olive oil. I like strong. She tastes and sees that her gain from work with and for God is good. Her lamp goes not out, but it burns on continually. Notice this. Through the night of trouble, her light's still shining. Privation or sorrow, warning away fear, doubt, and distrust. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She opens her hand to the poor. She's a giver. Can't be no stingy women. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. She's not a selfish woman. She fears not the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed in scarlet. I thought about the blood of Jesus when I read this. But then I also thought about, and people make fun of me. When Travis was younger, we all had a dune buggy. Travis, he had a little four-wheeler that he would ride. And we would all take off to the strip pitch, you know, every Saturday morning. We're in a line, you know, all going down the back roads to the strip pitch or whatever. Well, when Travis would go, we would go do that. He had these, they're not insulated, but they're coveralls. I would make him wear those coveralls. Why? It might be 75 out here, but when you're on that buggy, there is no enclosure. You're feeling like 40 or 50. So I would make him wear those. And they would all laugh at me and I, babying him and all this stuff and everything. Why? But right here is what I'm doing. I'm making sure, hear me, ladies, that my family's taken care of. They're spiritually provided for. They're mentally provided for. Whatever my husband brings in, I take it. I crochet it. I don't. But Beth and whatever her name is. I mean, Samantha. Beth and Samantha, they crochet it. Every woman has something that God has given you so you be a blessing and to help take care of your family. And she says there, she's not worried when the snow's coming. I'm not worried if the power goes off. Why? Well, number one, my man's got us a generator. Number two, I got gas bottles sitting on my back porch. Number three, I got a barbecue grill that's got a burner stove on the side. Why? I have prepared for these things. I bought a big burner you hook up to a gas bottle that makes a heater. I have prepared for these things. Why? Because you never know when calamity or trial or things are going to happen. And women, we don't just wait around waiting on this stuff to happen to react to it. We handle things, right? In other words, we hold it down, so that some of them say. You go on here. Zophis had to stop. We did half of this. She fears not the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed in scarlet. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is of linen, pure and fine, and of purple, such as that of which the clothing of the priest and the hallowed cloths of the temple were made. Now notice that. It's not just the husbands that's the priest. She does praying too and interceding for her family. And she goes on here, verse 23. Her husband is known in the city's gate. In other words, he's a well-known man. There's probably not anybody in Blountsville that don't know Scotty. But most of them don't know I'm his wife. We go somewhere, he gets stopped, talked to, and I just mosey on into the grocery store or whatever. Her husband is known in the city's gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and leads others to buy them. She delivers to the merchants girdles or sashes that free one up for service. Notice this, strength and dignity are her clothing. And her position is strong and secure. She ain't a wishy-washy woman. She rejoices over the future, the latter day or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. I think I have, do I have a verse on that one? Yeah, Proverbs 12:24. Can you put it up for us, Beth? We won't turn there. The hand of the diligent rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. Notice what it said there about her. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. She has been a diligent woman. She goes on, she opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household. And the bread of idleness, gossip. Listen, like, I don't know why we seem to be more prone to this than guys, unless maybe it's because we talk more. Most women talk way more than men. It says, she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Gossip, discontent, and self-pity, she will not eat. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And her husband boasts and praises her, saying, many daughters have done virtuously, nobly, and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. It said, but you excel them all. So we've got something to strive for, right, ladies? It says, charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain, because it is not lasting. A lot of times women put a lot of emphasis on the way they look. The way their hair is done, the way their makeup is, you know, what the latest fashion they got on, all this stuff. And he's saying here, that's not it. Why? That's going to change. I don't care how good you look right now. Things do. Gravity pulls. Things go the opposite way sometimes. So you cannot count on that. But notice what it says. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comments or anything before we close?